welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today. Actually have some decent weather down here in Florida today, at least for the next couple hours. And of course, we're getting all of your shipments out down here at Health Masters. So we appreciate again your support and your business of healthmasters.com. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I've got so many people contacting me and let me know how much they appreciate us supporting Global Servants and sponsoring 22 children as far as in the orphanage. And so thank you guys. I appreciate that. I mean, I was hoping that you guys were going to support me in this, and it makes me feel really good to know that you guys are with me on it and you're really being blessed by the fact that we're spending part of the profits that we make at Health Masters to support Global Servants. So it means a lot to me that you guys are behind me on this. Interesting thing happened, Austin. Barr removes a federal prison's chief in wake of the Epstein's death. This is the true scapegoat. It's just so funny to me that he did this. U.S. Attorney William Barr on Monday removed Hugh Hurwitz, the acting director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, a little over 1 week after the alleged child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein supposedly died in a New York prison. Hurwitz, who's been in the role since May 2018, had been reassigned in the Bureau of Prisons as the Assistant Director of Department Reentry Services Division. Barr named Kathleen Hawk Sawyer, the prison agency's director from 92 to 2003, to replace Hurwitz. She goes, "I'm confident that Dr. Hawk Sawyer and Dr. Kane will lead the Department of Prisons with the competent skill and resourcefulness they've been embodied to their government careers," the nation's legal chief officer said. This is the proverbial scapegoat. Now they're blaming it on the acting director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons for Epstein's death. Guys, this was an inside deal at that prison. I believe, personally, it's my opinion, that a whole bunch of people got paid a whole bunch of money to make sure what happened happened. And now the guards that were supposed to be watching Epstein are not cooperating with federal investigators. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I mean, guys, think about this for a second. This thing was a giant psyop, is all this was. It was a giant psyop to take Epstein out of the public eye. Had nothing to see here anymore. The man is dead. I don't believe for 1 second that man is dead. I believe he's in a witness protection program somewhere, probably in Israel, like I told you guys last week, having cosmetic surgery done. I don't believe for 1 second that guy, with as much as he knew and as many top leaders of the world that he was involved with, that he died. Just like I don't believe that Adolf Hitler died in the bunker. I don't believe any of that nonsense either, which was later proven to be false. So guys, here's the thing. We need to realize that the giant psyop that's being played on us as the American population is continuing. It's not going to go away. I mean, think about it for a second. Why is it that so many TV evangelists are so big and have such giant footprints in the media? Why is that? What is the common denominator of what they want? I mean, why are they being given huge amounts of airtime? I started hammering the New World Order on Christian TV, started talking about how I started asking the simple question, why should Christians help rebuild the third temple? That's a simple question. I mean, why should Christians help redo that? Why should we want to have sacrifices start again when Christ was our ultimate sacrifice? Why do we want to do this? And suddenly, crickets as far as me being ever asked to be on Christian TV again. I mean, it's done. Nothing. I haven't been asked to be on Christian TV now for almost a year and a half, and I was on a regular basis, but I started questioning the narrative of why our church is having funds coming in to rebuild the temple. Why are there things called temple funds in churches, and we consider this part of our ministry as Christians and part of our outreach as far as missions? What? No. We need to be talking about Jesus Christ. The Messiah has come. The temple does not need to be rebuilt. We do not need to reinstate sacrifices. Almost the entire Zionist movement was done to displace the Palestinians and to put basically the Israel back on the map and to rebuild the third temple to bring in the Antichrist so that Lucifer can try to control and manipulate Scripture. Guys, it's so important to understand who in the world these people are and what they're doing. Let me give you another example. The Palestinian Authority now over in Palestine has banned LGBTQ, whatever, community from holding events in Palestine. They're saying, no, we're not going to do that. The Palestine leadership has banned members of the local LGBTQ community from holding any activities or events in the West Bank because they are damaging to the fabric of Palestinian society. Now, what's funny about this, was released here through Breitbart, and it was released out of Tel Aviv. and it was being released as these people are so mean and so bad because they're not allowing the lesbian and gays to do things in Palestine. When we remember that Israel and Tel Aviv just had hundreds of thousands of people at a homosexual full pride event march several months ago, and it's the number one destination for gay and lesbian people in the world is Israel, particularly Tel Aviv. So now they're coming out and they're condemning Palestine for saying, we don't want the lesbian gay agenda here in Palestine. We don't want to be involved in it. So now we have to ask ourselves a question. These Palestinians are Christians and Arabs, Muslims. They don't want this. But Israel are the Jews and they want to have the homosexual events. So we have to ask ourselves a question. Who's closer to our Christian values here? I mean, what's going on with all of this stuff? And again, this is what I talked about 2 weeks ago with inversion. Everything wants to, they want to invert everything. This is that 17 Zeebe guy. Everybody needs to have an understanding of what's going on and how the American population has had a giant psychop played on it, and the Christian churches have been rendered useless and ineffective as far as a tool to help control our out-of-control government because our Christians have lost focus on what they're supposed to do and what they're supposed to believe. We're supposed to be promoting the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to be involved in all of these foreign wars and killing other people in other countries. Christian Zionists have become warmongers. They want to go in and basically displace all of these people in the Middle East and basically kill people by the millions. And you have to ask yourself a question, why? Well, it's because of the goal of bringing in the third temple, and we have to keep our eyes on that focus. I talked to another show host last night, and he basically was telling me how he's kind of frustrated because, you know, he's trying to get things done with the Trump administration, and the Trump administration is not listening. And I'm like, well, yeah, I got that. But now Donald is backtracking right now, which is good, on what he wants to do as far as gun control and background checks, because apparently us and the National Rifle Association, we have basically pushed so hard for this background check stuff to stop and for Trump not to do this and to register all of our weapons that he's listening. But let me ask you a question. Is he going to back off of red flag gun laws? Or was this just another psychop? Let me explain that to you. Did he come in and talk about the red flag gun laws, then add in background checks? Because everybody really doesn't want background checks. Just like they really, if they had an understanding of what red flag gun laws are, they don't want those. But how do we know it's not, we're going to push for both of these issues and then we'll back off once we get the red flag gun laws passed?
Yep.
Now think about what I just said. We're going to push really hard for both issues. Oh, then I'm going to show the conservatives that I've got their back and I'm not going to do the background checks, but we're going to go ahead and impose red flag gun laws. Guys, all of this is a complete and total erosion of our Constitution. Brad said to me the other day, if Trump gets these background checks passed and gets these red flag gun laws passed, he'll do more harm to our Constitution than our country since Woodrow Wilson put the Federal Reserve System in. Now, that's a pretty strong statement, and I could not disagree with Brad, because what's happened with the National Defense Authorization Act and all of the other things that Trump has continued to push is basically that we've basically got ourselves into a position where we're believing that this guy, this president that we put in power, is doing our bidding and doing what we wanted to do. No, he's not. Remember, his relatives in the White House, Jared and Ivanka Kushner, are both Shabbat members. They're Shabbat members. And these Shabbat members, they are a doomsday cult to want to bring in the Third World War and bring in the Third Temple to bring in the Antichrist. And that's who's in the White House. And they've got to disarm us first before they do that. Remember, Trump wants to permanently bring back the deactivated NSA program exposed by Snowden. Trump wants to bring it back. Civil liberties and privacy advocates raised alarm Thursday after the Trump administration called on Congress to reauthorize an NSA mass surveillance program that was exposed by whistleblower Edward Snowden. The New York Times, which obtained Trump's administration request to Congress, reported that the administration urged lawmakers to make permanent the legal authority for the NSA to gain access to the logs of Americans' domestic communications in the USA Freedom Act. What? This is the guy that's supposed to be supporting us and taking care of us? The law enacted after the intelligence contractor Edward J. Snowden revealed the existence of the program in 2013 is set to expire in December, but the Trump administration wants it made permanent, according to the Times. The administration claimed in its letter to Congress, which was signed by outgoing National Intelligence Chief Dan Coats, that the NSA has suspended the spying program, but Free Press Action Government Relations Director Sandra Fulton said in a statement that this should give little comfort to those whose privacy rights are routinely violated by authorities. The White House is calling for the reauthorization of a program that security agents have used to spy on innocent people, violate their privacy, destroy the civil rights, and chill free speech, said Fulton. The NSA program permits the mapping of relationships among members of marginalized communities and distant associates of targeted individuals, even when most individuals in those communities were never suspected of wrongdoing. In other words, if you're calling your buddy up and talking to him about the fact that, you know, we don't like what's going on with the government, and your buddy calls up someone and tells him the same thing, they map that. They map that and put it into an NSA database. So everybody's got a direct line to the same person who said what they said to start with and see what happens. And then it builds this giant web of people who are on that map that they believe are subversives. This is what they're doing, and this is what Trump's promoting. So guys, again, is this what we put Donald Trump in office for? Is this what we put him in Washington for? No. You know, my buddy Chuck Baldwin, I remember he said that he never voted for Trump to start with because he couldn't have a viable candidate, that he wasn't going to vote for the lesser of two evils. Now, we got put into an unbelievable bad situation at this last election in 2016. We had a choice between the Witch of Benghazi, a known Sabbatean witch who held regular seances, you know, with Eleanor Roosevelt and talked to the dead. Okay, yeah, the Democrats came up with a... What's wrong with you Democrats? Can you find somebody else who's not a witch who talks to dead people to run for president? Are you kidding me? Is that the cream of the crop through distillation of the Democratic Party? And then we get the doggone whoremonger and serial adulterer, never-ending liar, mafiosa chief Donald Trump in as far as our choice. So we have these two horrible options, and I mean, it's awful, Austin, that we've been put into a situation where this is what we get. And when Ron Paul was in there, or Rand Paul was running, or whatever, they're always marginalized. They don't get any time in debates. No one ever listens to them. Everybody thinks they're nuts. Why? Because they're telling the truth. So Pat Buchanan said about Ron Paul, the problem is people don't want to listen to him because he's telling the truth. Because he's not part of the Washington establishment. He's not part of the secret clubs. He's not part of all this stuff. And that's what Ron Paul is. Ron Paul was never given money by lobbying groups. Why? Because they knew it was a waste of time and a waste of money. He wasn't going to listen to them. He didn't want their money. Guys, we need more Ron Pauls in Congress. We need more Ron Pauls in the Senate. We need more people that are willing to abide by constitutional law, not people that are pushing NSA spying programs back into existence. What do you think, Austin?
That's really well said. And I mean, in one aspect too, I want to kind of reiterate something you talked about, because it's funny, I just had a conversation with a good buddy of mine last night about this. They've also, a lot of the hardcore Democrats and even one of the Republicans now, has actually come in Congress, and they're pushing for this assault weapons ban as well. So not only do we have the red flag gun law federally being pushed, we have the background checks that are trying to be pushed, and we have the assault weapons ban that is now getting a ton of traction in Congress. So we have three things that are unbelievably anti-constitutional, and that's exactly what my buddy said last night. He goes, in most cases when they've done this before, he goes, you see when they get, you know, all bent out of shape, and they got one big thing that they're trying to push, and they get a ton of pushback on it, it usually falls apart. But now if Trump comes in and goes, listen, assault weapons bans, no way. We can't do that, guys. I'm supporting my base. That's unconstitutional. You know, background checks, the expanded background checks, the registration, even between private sellers, I know you guys don't like that, but listen, this is for the mental health of our country. This is for the safety of our kids in school. This is for make sure that everybody has a right to be protected and has a right to be safe. These red flag gun laws are absolutely necessary, and we need to support them. And the problem is, as you said a minute ago, a large percentage of the individuals, even the patriot Christians that are just die hard 100%, doesn't matter what happens, Trump is right no matter what he does, are going to end up supporting this, especially if he drops off the other two topics and basically does it in a gesture of, well, I'm doing this because, you know, it's for the protection of the Second Amendment. I care about all of our, you know, our rights. So that's a really, really good pull that you brought up on that deck, because I thought the same thing last night, and there's a high probability that's what they're going to do. Because here's the thing, guys, CNN's already prepping the American population to get ready and used to red flag gun laws. Remember yesterday I told you guys about Brandon Wagzell in Connecticut, the 22-year-old in college. Basically, from what I'm finding now, remember I told you guys he's being charged with four charges of illegal possession of a high-capacity magazine, but then later on they said that he basically showed interest in a mass shooting, so they set his bond at $250,000. Well, all they could prove was that he basically posted a meme and he liked some stuff on Facebook. I went into detail on how creepy that is now, that we're now saying that we're going to start arresting people and charging them with showing interest in a mass shooting because they like something on Facebook. And only that, how did they find out that he was going out of state to buy large capacity magazines? That's a question I asked. I asked my buddy that last night. I said, the whole topic that he brought up here, they received the tip. This is what it said. According to the statement, this is what every single news outlet says. According to the statement, authorities received a tip that Wad School was trying to buy large-capacity rifle magazines from out of the state. Well, how in the world did they get a tip on that? What, somebody on Craigslist, somebody on ArmsList, somebody on GunTrader said he wants to buy a magazine? So what, that was enough for them to start following him, tapping his phone lines, tracking him, seeing where he went, and then arresting him? Or was it a undercover FBI agent that set him up from the beginning? Remember when we had Assange come out? It was about 2 years ago, if you guys remember this. I don't know if you guys do or not. He went into detail and said that almost every single terror plot is at some point created by the FBI as part of their business model. That's what he said verbatim. He said that 67% of all terrorism criminal cases involved evidence provided and set up by undercover FBI agents. The FBI creates terrorism and has a significant increase in the use of stings in terrorism cases, employing agents and informants to pose as jihadists, bomb makers, gun dealers, online friends, and hundreds if not thousands of investigations into Americans suspected of being a terrorist. They manufacture terrorism cases. This is what Assange said 2 years ago. So now all of a sudden we have this. And CNN came out with this article. I pulled it up yesterday. It said there could have been three more mass shootings if these men weren't stopped. And I went, whoa, that's a strong headline to come off with. And, of course, the first individual they have in here is this Brandon Washkel, who's allegedly got possession of a large-capacity magazine. And then what they do is all three of these guys that they allegedly busted in the last couple of days, the FBI busted all of them, they went in and they have photos of all of them. They're all white, and they're all lined up on their mugshots. And that's what their cover photo is for this article. Then they go on to say Tristan Scott Wicks of Daytona, Florida, was arrested in a Winn-Dixie parking lot after his ex-girlfriend basically notified law enforcement of him making texts that he was going to commit a mass shooting. Apparently, he was in a huge fight with her, and he basically said that he wanted to go out into a large crowd of people and shoot people. A good 100 kills would be nice. That's what he said. And now, of course, they raided his house, and authorities recovered a .22-caliber bolt-action hunting rifle with 400 rounds of ammunition of .22 caliber ammunition with a bolt action hunting rifle. And this was the cache of ammunition and a weapon they found. This is the big mass shooting guy that they stopped with his bolt action .22 and his 400 rounds of .22 long ammunition. This is what they're classifying now because he made a text to his girlfriend that was very inappropriate, I might add, but he has a .22 bolt action with 400 rounds of .22 ammunition, and he was allegedly planning on committing a mass shooting. So I'll go on to the next one since that one kind of does itself. Ohio, 20-year-old James Patrick Reardon has now been arrested for threatening to carry out a shooting on a Jewish community center. An Instagram account belonging to Reardon showed a video that showed a man, could not identify him, shooting a gun. In the post was tagged the Jewish Community Center of Youngstown. It is unclear who the man is shooting the gun, if it was Reardon or somebody else. However, the Instagram account also contains some anti-Semitic comments. A search warrant was now gotten and executed, and authorities found a cache of weapons and ammunition. There's that term again, a cache of weapons and ammunition. Reardon was arrested and booked in Mahoning County Jail on Saturday with one count of telecommunication harassment, one count of aggravated menacing, and that's it. And so all of his guns were legal, by the way, and I tried to pull up another another article, I finally found out what he had. He had, and I quote, this is what the statement said, dozens of rounds of ammunition and a semi-automatic weapon. That was his cache of weapons that he was allegedly going to commit a mass shooting with, because he posted an Instagram photo or video and tagged a Jewish community center in it. This, my friends, is pre-crime at it steroids run amok. This is Minority Report. Now we have individuals being literally arrested and charged with all types of various charges that the FBI and local law enforcement can put their hands on because they've made a comment online or they posted a video online. And then CNN compiles all three of these white individuals, which in most cases, these topics, these incidences would never even have made headline coverage if CNN would not have covered them, because they're almost ridiculous, especially the one in Connecticut, $250,000 bond because the guy gets caught with four 30-round magazines. Now, what's ironic is they did all this in order to push the white nationalist mass shooter agenda with CNN. Now, what's ironic about this is if you go and look back at another incident that just happened down here in Florida, they got zero media coverage whatsoever. Because why? Because it wasn't something that fit the agenda. This was on CBS Local Miami, only place I could find it, down in Hollywood, Florida. Police arrested a 16-year-old black male for posting threatening messages on social media. Police say multiple people reported Martinez, who posted a photo and a video that featured a threatening caption that read, "I'm debating on whether I should carry my pistol with me to school like last year," and has a photo of himself and then another video of somebody in a classroom drawing a weapon out from their book bag. Martinez now faces felony charges of electronic threat to kill, and according to authorities, Martinez was already expelled from MacArthur High School last year for bringing ammunition and magazines to class, and he basically started school again this year and has now already been expelled again. Now, of course, this made zero media coverage. Why? Because it didn't fit the mainstream narrative. But again, we have people that are simply posting things online and they're being arrested with felony charges. Now, I'm not saying you should be able to post whatever you want online. I'm not saying that. You start posting violent, hateful things, you start making phone calls, you start making text message, you start leaving voicemails, and you start leaving this stuff as electronic evidence of making threats about what you're going to do, you know, you have to kind of take that seriously sometimes. But on the other hand, too, we've reached a point now where not even making threats, posting a video and tagging somebody in it, and it's enough to get your house raided and your cache of weapons taken, which, by the way, both of those incidences, from what I was told, are either two or three of them. I haven't been able to verify the third one, but two of those incidences, they used the red flag gun law clause because it was ours already down here in Florida with the guy in Daytona and also the one up in Ohio. So they're already using these as an excuse for pre-crime arrest, to take people into custody, to seize their weapons, to get warrants from them, and then to blast them on social media and mainstream media and say, hey, we stopped another mass shooting again, guys, when in most cases, a lot of this stuff was completely and totally nonsense, and or the FBI made sure, like the case in Connecticut, they were setting that guy up or setting him up as a patsy so they could make themselves relevant as they thwarted another terrorist to plot that. As we know, they have done it dozens and dozens and dozens of times in the past and gotten busted for it. And in a lot of cases, blatantly admitted to setting up terrorist plots, giving the individuals the weapons, the explosives, the detonators, the vehicles, the money, the whereabouts, the maps, to do everything. And then right when they click the button, they go, oh, sorry, busted you. You're going to jail now for the rest of your life for terrorism. And you kind of go, wow. That's cool. You guys are sure active in what you do. This is what we've done now in the United States, and this is why it is so important that red flag gun laws federally do not get implemented, because this stuff is going to grow like a cancer in this country, and people are going to be arrested, detained, weapons seized for the most petty, senseless acts whatsoever, even if no crime's been committed, simply because they have the ability incentivized to take people's guns, Dad.
It's entrapment's what it is, Austin. They entrap people. They set them up to do things they normally would not have done, just to get a person in the media so they can say, oh, look what we're doing to justify our existence and our budgets.
Yep.
That's what this is. I mean, they'll take a person who posts something online, they'll have somebody contact them and say, wow, we agree with you 100%. You know, this is awful what's going on with these Muslims. or these Jews, or these Christians, or these Hindus, or these Buddhists, or whatever. And they'll come in and say, well, yeah, okay, I agree with you. Well, then they'll get two or three other people in there, and they're all agents, and they start agreeing with them. And they say, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we have a meeting? Let's get a meeting together, and let's talk about this stuff. We have a meeting, and they say, well, here's what we need to do. We need to take some action. The guy's going, well, I don't really want to take any action. Oh, yeah, you do. You want to take action. Well, no, I really don't. Yeah, you do. Or what are you, some kind of little candy boy? Are you a little girly mound? You don't want to take action? Let's do this. Let me get you a couple guns. Let's do a few things here. And let's see if we can just scare. We're not going to shoot anybody. We're going to scare anybody. And the guy goes, well, I don't really want to do this. Well, sure you would do. Here's a gun. I'm going to give you a gun. I'm going to give you a few guns right now. Go ahead. Look at these guns. And now we've got this.
Yep.
Now, they've just set him up. Now, all of a sudden, they raid his house. They find the guns. They find the communication with FBI agents. And they go, this guy's making threatening gestures. This guy's got guns. This guy's got a cachet of weapons. And boom. This guy's got a $250,000 bond. This guy's in jail now. And you're like, he's like, what the heck? I didn't even do anything. I thought these guys were nuts. I was a little scared because they were bringing guns to my house. Yeah, now all of a sudden, he's the one who's being pushed. He's the one who's going to jail. He's the one who's going to prison. He's the one who's being charged with online, you know, cyber felonies or whatever. This is what they have done and continue to do and will continue to do if we don't stop this rogue organization. The FBI and the CIA need to have a full restructuring. There are good people in both these organizations, good, God-fearing, really Christian, really people who care, even nationalist patriots. And some of them aren't even Christians. It doesn't make any difference. They're good people. But the reality is the ones that are in charge now are the ones that have gotten themselves completely compromised through J. Edgar Hoover, the transgender crossdresser, the weirdo, the pervert of the FBI who ran that thing with an iron fist for decades. And they're the same leftover people that were trained by him as far as manipulating the masses and creating these scenarios. And this is the problem that we have. These people get entrenched in these government positions that are appointed, a lot of them for lifetimes, and they can't be fired because of the government regulations and laws preventing them from being fired. So we're stuck with them. And we don't vote for them. We didn't want them there. They just ended up being there, and now we're having to deal with their nonsense. And this happens all the time in government. People are elevated to their highest levels of incompetency until we get the Peter Principle, which is as levels of government increase, so does inefficiency. And we see it over and over and over again. And it's sad to me, Austin. It really is. By the way, another study has just come out continuing to tell us that what we're telling you on this show is correct, that fluoridated water during pregnancies lower the IQs of the children of the women who are pregnant. Now, I don't know how I can make that any more clear. The findings should undermine public health messaging, fuel conspiracy theories, and get pregnant women something else to be concerned about. An influential medical journal published a study Monday that links fluoride consumption during pregnancy with lower childhood IQs, a finding that could undermine decades of public health messaging and fire up conspiracy theorists and mothers' alarms to be. The research was expected to be so controversial that the JAMA Pediatrics included an editor's note saying the decision to publish it was not easy and that it was subjected to additional scrutiny to prove that it was true. It's the only editor's note I've ever seen written, Dimitri Chikakis, director of the JAMA Pediatrics and pediatrician, told the Daily Beast. There was concern on the journal's editorial team how this would play out in the public eye and what the public health implications would be. About three-quarters of the United States drinks fluorinated tap water every single day, which the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention declared one of the top 10 greatest public health achievements of the 20th century because it reduces tooth decay, which, by the way, is a lie. It does not. A handful of earlier studies have suggested that prenatal fluoride exposure could affect neurodevelopment, but many experts considered those to be substandard. The new study, vetted by the premier medical publisher in the United States, is seen as more rigorous, saying the results were statistically accurate. When we started in this field, we were told that fluoride is safe and effective in pregnancy, said study co-author Christine Till of York University in Toronto. But when we looked for the evidence suggested it's safe, we didn't find any studies saying it's safe. They recruited 512 pregnant women from six Canadian cities and measured their exposure several ways, analyzing the amount of fluoride in their urine, looking at how much tap water and tea they drank, and comparing the fluoride concentration in the community tap water. And now they're saying we saw association between prenatal fluoride exposure and lower IQ scores in the children born of these women. Well, I'll go a step further, ladies and gentlemen, since they want to say this is true, because it is, and it's been true for years and years. It also lowers the IQ of the mother drinking the water. It lowers IQ, period. Fluoride is a neurotoxin. It is a brain poison. It is rat poison. It causes massive degradation to the dendrites and to the brain cells. You can see what happens in vitro. You put a brain cells that are alive and healthy in vitro. You put them in like in a petri dish, and you get anywhere fluoride anywhere near them, they immediately recoil, dry up, and die. Fluoride is a neurotoxin. It was used in Nazi concentration camps to make the inmates servile and infertile. And this is exactly what they're doing. They're making sure that they dumb us down as much as they possibly can and dumb our children down, because an educated populace that knows how to read and think is a problem for these people, because we don't want to go along with the narrative. Another article. The censorship of alternative media is virtual book burning. That's exactly true, by the way. It's by Daisy Luther. Recent discussions about an executive order that would help protect conservatives from bias on social media, this is what Trump's doing again, have brought a bone of contention to the forefront. Are alternative conservative media actually being censored, or are non-mainstream journalists and bloggers just whining? As the owner of a website that is demonstrably facing censorship, this person says, I tell you that from my point of view, we Americans are currently in the midst of a virtual book burning, akin to the ones that we look back on in shame. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. The book burning that occurred in Nazi Germany was primarily, how should I say this, pornography and filthy stuff that the German population, that they decided they didn't want the German population to see. And this is not what we have here. They're telling us that they don't want us talking about alternative anythings and telling the people the truth about what the news is going on. I mean, look, right now, in Sweden, they don't want us telling you this. Swedish pepper spray sales have soared after the wave of rape attacks. Yeah, how about that? Swedish retail chain Kaling Company have claimed that they are selling pepper spray at a record pace after a wave of rape attacks hit the national headlines over the summer. So, yeah, oh, we're not going to talk to you about that kind of stuff either. How about this? Germany is supposed to strip asylum status of refugees who go home to Syria for holiday who claim to be refugees. I'm not going to tell you this story either. German Interior Minister Horst Seehofer was announced that the government will be cracking down on Syrians with asylum status who go back to holiday in Syria. In other words, why are you going back to holiday in Syria if you're fleeing the country? If you're afraid you're going to get killed for legal purposes, you're going to go vacation back there? No, they want to come to Germany and get free stuff. I mean, this is the stuff that we're not supposed to be talking about, including all of the stuff as far as the information with the fluoride and all the stuff we tell you with health all the time. I mean, this is something. And another one: a Florida man has his guns rights stripped over mistaken identity. He had a name of another man, and this lady basically said that it was an ex-girlfriend of his, and they came to his house, they stripped the rights away, and then when he goes to the sheriff's department after they take his guns, they say, oh yeah, this is wrong, we know it's wrong, too bad for you, it's gonna cost you a lot of money now to get your gun back because you're gonna have to prove you're not this guy. He goes, but I didn't do anything, and they said, no, we don't care, it's the way the law works. See, this is the kind of stuff they don't want you to know. They don't want to know. You know, they don't want you to know that the New York Times may be trying to trigger a race war. That's been leaked as the deep state pushes the collapse of the U.S. economy to try to increase the risks of a doggone civil war in the United States. That's the one common denominator that we don't have right now in the United States, is we don't have high unemployment. If we had high unemployment right now, Austin, in the United States, and people were in bread lines and people were hungry, just like it was in Russia during the Russian Revolution, at that point, that's when the people say, no more, we want to get rid of the government. But as long as we have our massive, massive food subsidies going out, subsidies going out to people, and we continue to give them free stuff for whatever, they're not going to raise up in mass against the federal government. They're simply not going to do it. Why? Because they want their free stuff to continue, bud. What do you think?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that's one aspect of it. I mean, when you're looking at, you know, around a seventh of the population is on food stamps, a seventh, you know, I mean, around what, 46, 47 million right now. You got to start understanding that that's exactly why we don't have the bread lines anymore, because we have the food stamps, and people don't even have to buy food stamps technically anymore. That's just an old term we use. It's EBT, electronic benefit transfer. You just have a debit card, basically. You buy food with every single month. And so as long as you can keep the population fed, said, just enough to keep them docile. You don't have to worry about a massive amount of revolting when a seventh of the population is feeding off the government, literally feeding off the government. And what's crazy is now, too, what you're talking about as far as with a lot of the censorship, I was going through some stuff now, and a lot of people have heard about this Project Veritas, which is an investigative journalism thing that's been going on. A former Google employee just went out a couple days ago and released nearly 1,000 documents, which he says is direct evidence of the search giant's anti-conservative bias on the platform. And as everybody's been reading through it, they're starting to find out that, yeah, this information that this guy leaked is straight up hardcore bad for Google. I can't put any clearer than that. It's proof that Google has not only been blacklisting search terms and websites that get in the way of the leftist agenda, but it also blatantly shows that Google executives like CEO Sundar Pichai have committed perjury by lying to Congress about it. I watched part of the congressional interview as far as probably about a month and a half ago or so, when CEO Sundar was in front of Congress and they asked him, you know, do you blacklist anything? Do you suppress anything? Absolutely not. We don't do anything like that. Everything's organic. I mean, flat out, that's what he said to Congress under oath. And, you know, they kept asking him these questions. Oh, no, no, we don't ever do that. You know, if there's content that is extremely violent or hateful, we get rid of that. But it's only like 1% of the content that we ever have to suppress because of this, this, and this. Well, the latest expose from Project Veritas reveals beyond a shadow of a doubt that Sundar has not only been lying under oath and perjuring himself, the facts also corroborated by Dr. Robert Epstein, a senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavior Research and Technology. During an interview he just did, he explains how Project Veritas has been trying to warn the public for a while now and blatantly has gotten the information out in the open, with the now leaked documents prove that Google has been engaged in a conspiracy of re-ranking, search results, creating blacklists for political purposes, and all the above. He said included in the set of documents released by Project Veritas, it's not just one, but two blacklists that Google controls. One for websites and the other for search terms. Just a short while ago, Google's leader, including Pichai, claimed before Congress it has never created blacklists, which is obviously a lie now. He goes on to say they've also said over and over and over again in response to my research, we never do re-ranking of search results. Epstein goes on to say that is also a lie. These documents show beyond any doubt whatsoever that Google has teams that do re-ranking of search results that actually use the term internally in the company. Not only is Google actively censoring search results and websites, but Google has even gone as far to create and name an entire system for this known as Twiddler, T-W-I-D-D-L-E-R, the Google system. Google has what is known as a Twiddler Quick Start guide that explains how various teams at Google are able to access and utilize internal software to change how certain kinds of content get ranked. Believe it or not, Google also has a list called News Blacklist Sites for Google. That, as of this writing, contains around 400 websites on it that Google has decided to target for censorship. Some of them, they say, are very recognizable names, while others you've never even heard of. So now we have, again, without a shadow of a doubt, that Google is blatantly involved in suppression, blacklist, restructuring, re-ranking. And remember, a lot of this stuff they've tried to play off and say, oh, well, it's a terrorist website, you know, it's a terrorist organization, so we re-rank it. Not according to these documents. According to these documents, it's pretty much anything and everything, and almost 99% of the information that is re-ranked, that is reclassified, that is blacklisted, if it is not some type of terrorist or violent extremist group that they allegedly claim they do, about 99% of it is all right-wing, hardcore, conservative information that talks about the truth. So again, we have more evidence. This is why I tell everybody, I haven't used Google in years. Don't use Google. You can use, you know, DuckDuckGo. There's multiple other websites you can use. Because not only, remember, does Google blacklist and restructure the search settings, they also monitor and track everything you search and do and where you go. Every click on your computer, they monitor it. That's why they have cookies. That's why a while back ago, the Google cookies apparently had been activated on our website. Because they go in and they activate it. Now you see all these websites, you guys notice, you go in and they say, we didn't want you to allow cookies. I would go block, 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 turn off, block, block, block. It's not what you think it is. They go, it's for your experience. We want to make sure we're serving you better. Complete and total lie. That's why we have none of that stuff on our website whatsoever. All of it we have made sure is completely turned off. Google doesn't do it because they care about your experience. They don't care about what you get. If they cared about it, they wouldn't blacklist search terms and re-rank search terms on how they felt they should go up. What they use cookies for is to track you, sell your information to every single third-party entity that will pay a penny for it at the very least, if not more, and go around and build an entire platform and track you and monitor and follow you around the entire internet so they can do even more ads to try to sell you more stuff that you don't need, that you probably don't even need to buy, and they do that intentionally. They keep people wrapped up in the system, and at the same time, they completely keep a full-blown category on everybody as far as your search engines, what you like, what you look at, what you search, what you browse, when you do it, where you do it from, what IP address, all of it. So be sure, keep those cookies off, do the best you can to block them. A lot of websites, when they try to force you to accept them, I won't even go to the website again. To me, it's not worth going there. If that website is that restrictive and they're going to force you to accept cookies and not even allow you to control the parameters of it, then why in the world are you going to support that company at all? Because most of those companies aren't getting hardly anything from their algorithms, by the way. You don't know that. When they allow cookies to do that, you don't get any kickbacks on. I've looked at the stuff on it. You may get a little bit of information like the demographics of your viewers on your website and some stuff like that, but that's it. They use all that information. They sell it and make billions of dollars off of you by selling your information and millions of other people's information to all of these sales marketing firms that are out there now that are making a huge killing off what you do, where you go. That's why I saw an article the other day. It was a big ad that had popped up somewhere. I don't remember where I saw it at, but it was going on. This thing you need to do to get all this money back for free gas. So like, all you gotta do is add this app and we'll give you money, you know, for gas. Every time you fill up, you know, you show us the receipt and you scan it and all this stuff. And I started to do some more research on it. Oh yeah. It's not what you think it is. Oh, you get a couple cents back for these miles you drive and when you scan your receipt. Oh, but one thing they love to do is all your permissions have to be on with this app all the time in order to get paid. Your destination, your location, your voice, your screen, your media, everything, everywhere you go, every place you stop, every single thing you look at, everything you do online, every phone call, every text message, every photo you make is completely and totally monitored by them, and they can turn around and sell that information, and then they give you some pennies on the dollar for your gas that you're buying. You get, you know, $50, $100 back, you know, a week for gas, so you sell your information. There's a reason why they can pay you that much money to just drive around. It's because that information they probably sell for $10,000 and they give you $100 on it. Just the same way the banks don't create anything, the banks don't produce anything, the banks don't make anything. They do fractional reserve lending at a 40-to-1 basis. So if you have $1 million in savings in your account, they can lend out $40 million in loans at anywhere from 4, 5, 6, 7% interest on $40 million. And then your little money market, they give you, you know, a little 2%, 1.5%, and they give you a little hand clap. Oh, congratulations, we gave you this much money back. You should be happy. When in turn, they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest off your money that they're loaning on a 40-to-1. That's how these guys operate, and now they've taken it in to the marketing spying sector to build an entire database on you. So again, I reiterate, don't allow the permissions to be open on any of these apps. If you have to use an app for a specific reason, turn it on, turn the permissions back off, especially your location and your microphone and your data, because that's the big money right there. That way they can listen to your talks, everything you say, all your phone calls. They can monitor everywhere you go with your location, and they can monitor all your media and text messages. So make sure those are absolutely off all the time unless you have to use them, and turn them back off, Dad.
No, Austin, you're 100% right on all of this stuff. I mean, that's why, you know, I keep my cookies blocked on my iPad, my iPhone. I just block cookies. Why? Because if I go look at, you know, a new Chevy truck, you know, online, if my cookies are turned on, all of a sudden I get deluged with Chevy truck ads. And you're like, what the heck? Well, what they're doing is they're tracking you. They're tracking you on your iPhones. They're tracking you on your iPads. They're tracking you on your Android devices. And just, I don't want to be tracked. You think, well, what are you trying to hide? I'm not trying to hide anything. I just don't want to be targeted for these marketing firms to do what they do. And then they start sending you all kinds of crap. I mean, you know, if you're a red-blooded alpha male, you know, and you happen to look at, you know, NFL cheerleaders or whatever, and you have your cookies turned on, now you start getting all of these ads and all of these things of, you know, look at more NFL cheerleaders. You know, you can read between the lines on that one, and that's how that goes. So just keep your cookies turned off. These guys don't need to be tracking you and Googling you and all the stuff they do to you. And Google, as we know. And remember, guys, I'm going to say this again. And we are the only ones to say this. No one else says this. This is planet Rothschild we live on, okay? This is planet Rothschild. If we saw Rothschild's name on everything they control and everything they do and every company they own and every influence they have, we would say, no way, not happening, not here, not now. We're not doing planet Rothschild. But that's what we are in. The same people who have done all of this stuff, all the way back to the ancient Canaanite religions, are the same people. And again, the Jeffrey Epsteins and these weirdos, they're just another spoke in this great wheel of all these people that do all of this weird stuff. It's all being controlled by off-world entities. I talked about this 2 weeks ago. All of it. You think, well, gosh, Ted, that sounds so creepy. I agree with you. It sounds unbelievably creepy. But the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It tells us in the words, if we claim to be Christians, we've got to believe what the word said. These entities, these things, are the ones that control these guys. Because we're their food source, basically. I talked about this in length. This morning I had a long talk with Sheila Zelinsky. She called up this morning and she's having some issues and she, you know, was with some stuff that she's doing and she wanted to get some advice from me and I told her some things that I would do. And, you know, and the things that are going on. And I told her, I said, we have to stay focused on who's controlling this. Who's in charge of this? Why do we have so much stuff going on right now? Well, Google is another company that was underwritten by the major banking cartels. All of these things are. So it's like Austin says, you've got to go with the smaller companies that don't get controlled by these big guys. That's why 95% of the world's corporations are controlled by four investment houses. And guess who they're owned by? It's just that simple. And so that's what we run into. The same thing with the media. So always remember, if the media wants to promote a specific agenda, it puts it out on the APY or Rothschild controlled. It puts it out on the Reuters, Rothschild controlled. And so they allow their corporate conglomerate media to do what they're supposed to do based upon what they're told to do through the AP and through Reuters. A brilliant strategy, to be honest with you guys. Brilliant strategy on how they did this. But this is what they continue to do, because that way they can control both sides of the narrative. That's what they do. By the way, the head of the abortion business made $5,000, and he got a performance bonus because he killed nearly 5 million babies. Yeah, that's part of the food source, remember? The chief executive of Marie Stopes International, Simon Cook, was paid an obscene £434,000 in 2018, according to reports released by the company's house. In 2018, the global abortion giant, Marie Stopes International, killed 4.8 million unborn children through abortion. During that year, Chief Executive Cook saw his base salary rise from £173,000 to £217,000. Cook then received a staggering 100% performance bonus, which doubled his earnings based on the amount of babies they were able to kill. Yeah. According to the Times, the amount paid to Cook in 2018 now ranks him among the highest UK top five paid charity executives. So now it's killing people's of charity. The MSI accounts reveal that in 2018, the abortion giant had a record income of £296 million, whilst the single biggest donor was the UK Department for Internal Development, which paid nearly $48 billion of taxpayer money towards the abortion provider. Wow. Maurice Stopes International served more women and girls than ever before. What? The CEO statement provided by Cook in the MS1 2018 accounts appears to attempt to justify his outrageous income. The statement declared that in 2018, the abortion provider was able to serve more women and girls than ever before. The organization killed 4.8 million unborn children in a year of resilience and success, as described by the book. This is who runs the world, guys. The same guys who do this. This is what they do. And we need to understand who and what these entities and things are. he gets performance bonuses because they killed millions of children. And think about this, I've had this discussion with Sheila this morning. Well, Trump's defunding Planned Parenthood. Trump is not defunding Planned Parenthood. He takes little chunks of their money away. They're still getting $500 million a year in the United States. What he does and what the media does is they feed the conservative market what they want to hear. Trump's defunding Planned Parenthood, so go ahead and accept the red flag gun laws. Whoa! Did he just say, yeah! That's what they do. They give you this lie, so you accept and say, oh my gosh, he's got to be great. You know, feed the Trump, love the Trump, you know, all this other stuff, whatever. Are you kidding? No. Donald Trump is reading a script. He's reading a script, guys. Newsflash for everybody. Listen.
Can you hear me?
They had so much pushback, they backed it. They knew algorithms wouldn't punch. They knew that we as Americans weren't going to accept it. They've got to wait for another generation to die. They've got to wait for my generation to die. They've got to wait for Austin's generation to die, probably. And then we get the weirdos out there now that think that, you know, grasshoppers are humans and that they're grasshoppers and sea turtles and everybody can be an ostrich when they want. I mean, what the heck? Where'd that come from? Again, it's inversion. Everything that God created to be made good is being turned upside down on his head. It's what they do. It's what they've always done, and it's what they will always continue to do. Good news from the border, just being a little facetious here. Chickenpox and the flu. Migrants are getting sick at the U.S.-Mexican border. Imagine that. In Tijuana, Baja, California, her first day of quarantine, Thursday, 6-year-old Fernanda Martinez was ecstatic. She raced a mini green quad up and down the hall outside of the dark room where she spent 4 weeks separated from everyone because of a severe case of chickenpox. Guys, when you put people into concentrations like this and you have these contracted, very contagious diseases that run amok, this is what you're going to get. Because of non-sanitary conditions, because of not having proper nutrients, not enough vitamin C, all kinds of other things. So now they want us to feel sorry for them. The reason they're doing this, guys, is to destroy the fabric of our society. The same people who run the Google corporations, the same people who run the media, are the same people that are pushing for this mass immigrant agenda of pulling these people into the United States. And don't get me wrong, I feel sorry for these people in third world countries. I've been all over the world, and I've seen a lot of it. And I've prayed for them. Gosh, you guys, you guys and me, we're Health Masters in Austin. We're supporting 22 girls right now in an orphanage in Thailand. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. But does that mean we want 22,000 refugees to come in from Thailand today because we want to support them? No. If we as Christians got together and we supported the people that we could help, we would not have to have these people coming in by the millions of people into our country. The problem is they weren't raised properly in these third world countries. They were, a lot of them were raised under socialism. A lot of them were raised on believing the government was supposed to take care of them. You've got to learn and you've got to develop, and sometimes it takes generations to build a work ethic. You know, people say, why do you do the things that you do? I said, well, because I know I need to work. I got to do things. I mean, years ago, I had a guy whose name was, I forgot his name. It'll come to me in a second. And we were at the house, and we were digging a ditch. He was digging a ditch for me. His name was Mike. He was digging a ditch for me. And I got out there with a shovel. I started digging the ditch with him. And he looked at me and goes, I can't believe, Dr. Brewer, that you're digging the ditch. And I'm like, well, the ditch he's dug. And he goes, well, but you're digging a ditch. You've got a shovel in your hand, and you're digging a ditch. And I said, well, you really didn't know how to dig a ditch properly. I'm teaching you how to dig a ditch. You don't take the dirt from the ditch and sling it 20 feet away because you got to cover the ditch. You got to be careful when you dig a ditch so you can cover it back up properly because you still have dirt available for it. He goes, well, I didn't know that. I said, well, most people don't. I said, I've dug a lot of ditches in my life. And it doesn't have plumbing stuff. And you say, well, why are you doing that yourself? Well, very simply, I can't get anybody else to do it. They say they're going to show up, but they don't show up, and that's the end of it. So you end up either not doing it or doing it yourself. You think, well, that's awful. I didn't say it wasn't awful. It's work ethic. It's what we were trained to do as children, if you're my age, and what I trained Austin to do if you were raised by parents like I am who trained Austin and my other sons and my daughters. But that's the problem with these third world countries, Austin. Number one, they don't focus on Jesus Christ. They don't have a Christian Protestant work ethic. And number two, they basically aren't trained properly that you have to work hard. Now, there are a cream of the crop that come in from third world countries that come here who want to work. who want to work construction, who want to do building, who want to do concrete, who want to do stone, who want to do construction, who want to do, you know, carpentry. And they have the skill set to do that. And they come to this country and they work. The problem is when their kids get raised, the bulk of them are lazy and they don't want to work. And so we have a complete degradation of our cultural fabric. And this is what's happening over and over and over again in nations like, you know, in the EU, in Germany, in France, in Belgium, in England, in the United States, all over the world, these countries that are Rothschild Bank controlled. It's all about creating a new world order out of chaos, and that's their goal. Guys, stay firm. Stay with the Word. Stay with your relationship with Christ. Say your prayers every day. I prayed for you guys again today. Understand that we change the world through prayer, not through politics. We change the world through prayer, through our actions and what we do, not through politics, unless you can get key people into political positions, which is what we need to do now. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I mean, you guys mean so much to me. Enjoyed a little talk this morning. Austin, close her up, and I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely. And one last health article for today. I wanted to get to this. I'm posting it on the website, too, so you can take a look at it in detail. A new meta-analysis published in the Journal of Nutrients is showing that administration of vitamin C actually shortens the length of stay of a patient in an intensive care unit, which is really cool. Researchers from the University of Helsinki, Finland, and Sydney, Australia, evaluated whether vitamin C influences the length of stay in the ICU and duration of medical ventilation. Overall, they gathered 18 trials, and 12 of which were included in the meta-analysis on the length of stay that involved 1,766 patients. After analyzing the pooled data, the research found that on average, vitamin C administration shortened ICU stay by almost 8%. In 6 trials, oral administration of vitamin C with an average dose of 2 grams a day reduced the length of ICU stay on average by 8.6%. In 3 trials in which patients needed medical ventilation for more than 24 hours, vitamin C reduced the duration of medical ventilation by 18.2%. They go on to say vitamin C is a safe, low-cost essential nutrient. Given the consistent evidence from the trials published so far, vitamin C must be administered to ICU patients. Through further studies are needed to find out optimal protocols for its administration. You go into detail with that as far as on intravenous and everything else, but this is why I tell you guys all the time, a couple grams of vitamin C every single day. It is absolutely crucial to keeping your diet, from the collagen to your immune system to your brain, everything. Vitamin C plays a crucial role in it, and it's really, really, really important to staying healthy, especially after we're getting exposed to all this nasty stuff all the time, these random flu viruses that constantly pop up and the chemtrails and anything in between. So be sure, stay up on your vitamin C on a regular basis. I posted that research study up on the website as well later on the day, so you guys can take a look at it. But again, thank you for the support of healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out the probiotic 350 billion, which is on sale for over 10% off as product of the week right now. And be sure to vote for what you want to see win as product of the week tomorrow. You can get on there and vote for all the products that we have listed on the website at healthmasters.com. And again, thank you for signing up for our free weekly newsletter. We appreciate all the support, all the emails, all the feedback we get from everybody. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.